Hey, Bon Jovi. Yes, I am a huge fan too, Rihanna. I'm sorry you missed sound, Brenda. You have to refresh. If you don't get sound, you have to refresh. And hopefully now you're getting sound and can hear Mark and I. Well, me so far. Mark hasn't said peep.
No, I haven't said beep yet. I was just checking that the sound was actually there, was all.
Okay.
Doing my sound engineer bit with the volume control.
Is it working good?
Yeah, it's just reminded me of that other thing. You know what you said about coughing and said, yeah, the cough button is just mute on the phone, isn't it? You think about it.
You know, I've never used mute, and I've never trusted it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why.
Anyway, there you go. That's probably
yeah.
what the cough button is anyway in
yeah.
these radio circles. And the other funny thing was when I thought to myself, you know, 2 minutes, 1 minute to go, whatever. People are saying hi in the chat room. They might not get a response. And I thought, they're probably thinking that, you know, dials are being turned and generators are being powered up. And
I was chowing on pizza.
And you were eating pizza.
yeah. No, I woke up late. And actually, I have to admit, I woke up at 20 minutes after 3.
Uh-huh.
Because of this medical stuff I'm going through.
Which
I'm
is why we've not been on air the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm having difficulty sleeping and sleeping at right times and all this kind of stuff. So I don't have our WordPress list of link.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. It won't matter to those listening to the archive, but it will to those folks in the room at the moment.
Right, but I will get them up, and I'll post them on Facebook like I usually do after the show.
Yeah, have you got the address of the WordPress page for listeners afterwards?
Yeah.
What is it? Conundrum? No.
Conundrum with Cougar. WordPress.
.wordpress.com.
.com. .com.
Check Julie's Facebook for the
Check
address
Julie's
for the WordPress.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, let's get Mark doing his worldwide weird here while I get things together for my...
Yeah, and another, just by the way, while you're getting things ready, has this show got unofficial sponsorship from Gillette, perhaps?
Why?
I don't know, it's about close shaves, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway.
Speaking
right.
of which, you had a close shave yesterday. We shaved your face and cut
your
hair.
Oh, I'm a different bloke today, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You only cut my hair, had a good old shave
you're
there.
You're looking real handsome.
Well, thank you very much. I don't
yeah.
look like Charlie Manson anymore.
Oh, you never look like Charles Manson.
Oh, all right.
You look like his brother.
Oh, thanks. Okay, moving on with the worldwide weird news stories for this week, which are my top five found around the internet. Quick mentions, though. There was a magnitude 3.8 earthquake yesterday in England near Peterborough on the east coast. Also yesterday, a 5.6 magnitude quake 40 kilometres southwest of Ferndale in California. So maybe something to watch out for. And was the one in Winchester? I don't know whether I saw that as well the day before. So plenty of earthquakes kicking around. And asteroid 2004 BL86 zoomed past us on Monday. And from data returns, it was found to have a moon. Video was released by NASA's JPL facility, which shows the moon and asteroid. There was one problem with it, though, that's a bit comical. The way the radar data is presented, the asteroid is spinning one way and the moon is doing nothing like following that spin. It seems they interpreted the data into images that just don't really make sense to the eye. And you've got some conspiracy theorist-type people thinking it's a UFO and what have you, but it was simply radar returns and not actual images. Anyway, on to the top five stories. We had a Bigfoot story on our last show, which was widely deemed to be a hoax. It was the head and shoulders picture. This one is altogether more compelling, much better in every way. It's from a place called Lettice Lake Park in the Florida swamps. It looks like a Bigfoot and does Bigfoot things in the video. It seems to be crouching and drinking water. The guy's in a boat that's filming it and makes a few sounds in the boat, whereupon the creature slaps the water, perhaps in disgust, then enters the water and walks away from the boat. It seems to be carrying a dead snake as it walks away, which some people thought was the creature's tail at first. I like it. It's not readily thrown out as CGI or a rubbish hoax. One problem, however, is that the poster is a Matt M. Well, could that be Matt Moneymaker? He seems to have a reputation of being a moneymaker, name and nature, especially if that nature is Bigfoot sightings. But it is a great video and definitely one to search out on YouTube. Well, until we get the WordPress link and it'll make it easier. Now, Julie,
yes.
Would you pay for a lock of hair from someone famous?
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. Well, and I mean not for some kind of voodoo ritualism, perhaps to meet the person or whatever, but as a cherished link to that person?
Bon Jovi.
So it would be Bon Jovi, would it? And what would you pay for that lock of hair?
$1.50.
Mm. Well, a lock of Abraham Lincoln's hair went up for auction this week in Dallas, and while Abraham Lincoln is not Bon Jovi, guess the final bid of that lock of hair. It was a little more than $1.50.
Abraham Lincoln's hair.
Yeah,
how did they know it was his?
Well, that is a good point. It's like toenail clipping fetishist people, isn't it?
Yeah.
How the heck would you know? Well, apparently it was.
Abraham Lincoln's hair. $50.
$25,000.
Get out of town.
Yeah, the lock of hair was removed by Surgeon General Joseph Barnes shortly after Lincoln was shot dead by actor and Confederacy supporter John Wilkes Booth.
And somebody in this morbid situation said, here, give me that.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on to it and sell
it. Toenail clippings.
and hand it down to my kids, and they can sell it on eBay.
No doubt.
Oh, for dumb.
I don't think it was eBay, mind you. It was a proper auction, as they say. Oh. This all happened on April the 14th of 1865, not the auction, the assassination. The total auction of Lincoln memorabilia fetched over $800,000.
Wow.
What I mean is a pretty important guy to history and to the United States.
Do you want to know what? There is a hotel. You know that Grand Rapids, Minnesota, is the birthplace of Judy Garland?
Yeah.
And there's a Judy Garland museum there,
mm-hmm.
and one of the pairs of ruby slippers was stolen from there.
There's only been to be one pair of ruby slippers.
No,
they're the magical ones that you tap and you go no place like home.
Yeah, but the props they use two pair.
You mean they use props?
Apparently.
They use real ones, real
yes.
magic shoes.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
But next door to the museum is the Sawmill Inn Hotel.
The what? Sorry.
The Sawmill Inn.
Oh, right, okay.
Is a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And in the lobby of the Sawmill Inn, they have the cart. Remember when they're going through Emerald City and they're being drawn by a horse of a different color?
Yeah.
That.
You mean the posh coach thing?
The coach, yeah. They have that actual coach because it's not only was it used in The Wizard of Oz,
mm-hmm.
but it was also used by President Abraham Lincoln.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that cool?
That is really pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah. Well, imagine how much that would make at auction.
Yeah, and it's in really nice condition. They did a really nice job refurbishing it.
Very good. Yeah, it's a 1930s film, of course, as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing's 80 years old or whatever. All right, on to the next story. This is a story from the Mirror Online next, out of the UK, and it's what could be called an epic photo bomb. An 8-foot-tall woman is seen quite clearly in a picture taken in a pub. The picture was supposed to be of a chap and his son. She looks like a grumpy old deer, complete with large overcoat and even...
Wait, a grumpy old what?
A grumpy old deer.
Deer, oh, okay.
I don't mean with antlers and stuff.
I don't know
I mean
what
an
you
old
said.
Woman, you know.
I didn't know what you said, dig or something like that. I'm sorry.
All right.
All right, carry on.
I will do. Thank you. The picture was taken at the King's Arms Hotel in southwest London, which is in the shadows of Hampton Court Palace, known for its own ghostly apparitions. It's a great picture. It's not a blurred-out mess. And yet she's so tall. Added to this is that there have been full reports of pictures having tall people in them recently. A sort of Slenderman thing for ghosts going on. The woman is very clear in the picture. Have you seen it, Julie?
No,
uh-uh. Oh, okay. No, it's well worth having a look at.
Sorry, I'm trying to get a little organized here so I'm a little more comfortable.
Moving pizza trays away and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I'm getting...
Right, now, next story. A very odd marriage proposal next. A German man has come up with a novel way of using the hated police speed cameras for something useful to propose to his girlfriend.
Oh, that's cute.
It is. Christian Breyer deliberately drove over the speed limit past a camera mounted near his home on the outskirts of Leipzig while holding a large homemade sign up in the windscreen which read, "Will you marry me?" In Germany, the police routinely send a photograph of the driver together with a speeding notice to prove who was at the wheel at the time of the offence.
Did they post that in the paper?
No, they send it to the actual address, to the person
who's got the
alleged, you know, speeding.
Okay.
So when Mr. Breyer's girlfriend opened the post, she found a photo of him holding up the marriage proposal. But pulling off the stunt was not easy. 31-year-old Mr. Breyer told Bild's newspaper, that's B-I-L-D, under Germany's pulling off a stunt was not easy, basically. Under Germany's staggered system of penalties, he could get away with a €15 fine and no points on his license, provided he kept within 6 miles per hour of the speed limit. So he drove past the camera with the sign 5 times, a little faster each time, until the camera flashed. There you are, and she said yes.
Oh, God bless her heart.
I think that's great. That's a really good use for those useless things.
That's cute.
Yeah. A bit related, by the way, and this isn't one of the news stories. Did you know that a company will make sure that your wedding has a sunshine weather guaranteed for $150,000? Apparently, they seed the clouds with whatever they put in there.
So you have sunshine?
Yeah, so you got sunshine.
Usually they seed the clouds so you have rain.
Yes, exactly the point, isn't it? But you see, somebody wants the perfect wedding, they're going to want the perfect weather, they're going to want the sunshine. Well, you know what? For me, most weddings take place in, like, June, July, August, September, when you get your nice weather.
Yeah.
That's an easy pocket, a bit of money, that.
Well, that and a lot of weddings take place indoors, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're paying 150 grand for nice weather, the company could just sit back and do nothing.
Oh,
and I go, well, look at this. Great weather.
That's ridiculous.
Or pay out 150 grand. Now, you imagine how many bad days you get in those summer months compared to good days, and you're looking at a winner of a business idea for doing nothing. Anyway, that's just my opinion. Now, for the last story, a bit of a heartwarming thing about a zombie cat, of all things. A cat that was written off for dead after being hit by a car clawed itself out of its grave and made its way home 5 days later. Bart, the name of the cat, who was found motionless in a pool of blood over a week ago, was pronounced dead by local vets in Tampa, Florida, and buried by his owner, Ellis Hudson. But 5 days later, Ellis spotted a familiar feline face looking distinctly the worse for wear outside his house. Suffering from head trauma, a broken jaw, and a ruined eye, the cat looked like something out of Night of the Living Dead, but it was unmistakably Bart. Rescuers at the Tampa Bay Humane Society, where Bart is being treated, believe he may have woken up underground, clawed his way to freedom, and then hid for a few days before heading on home.
Aww.
What a little star, though. He didn't give up. He just, you know, clawed to the top, as it were. Clawed his way to the top.
I hope he recovers fully, too.
Oh, yeah. Apparently he's got to have an operation.
Poor thing.
No doubt. But, yeah, he's a fighter, that guy.
God bless us all.
Yeah. Anyway, that completes the Worldwide Weird News stories for this week.
Cool.
I'm sorry about the mistake I made before. I was reading ahead about the 6 mile an hour going a bit, and I'm all confused.
Big deal. You call that a mistake? Do you listen to me?
All right, carry on, and I shall.
One thing I'd like to say about the show is that whether you believe in God or not, the subject is going to come up during the show. It doesn't mean that we're endorsing it, that we're not endorsing it. It's going to come up because that's just the stories that people tell.
Yeah, so you mean the way things are presented might give a particular leaning towards affiliations with certain religions and that kind of stuff.
And in fact, if we follow Dr. Moody, Raymond Moody's research, he will tell you that it doesn't matter if you're an atheist, an agnostic, if you are a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Jewish, a Muslim. It doesn't matter what your faith, what your belief, what your basic outlook is, that people around the world all have these experiences.
Share
anyway.
The similar, yes.
So don't think I'm preaching when I'm telling these stories, but they are stories that do involve people's experience with whom they believe is God or Jesus. Okay, so I'm not trying to be all preachy and all that kind of stuff, and we know that that can get old. And
I think if anybody's read about certain NDEs before now, they'll fully understand that side.
Yeah.
It's based on the person telling it. I mean, it's their, perhaps, interpretation of what's going on that is coming forward in their words.
Well, what I'm going to base most of today's show on, because I'm most familiar with, is Dr. Raymond Moody's research.
Yeah. Is that Life After Life?
Life After Life, which was written in 1975. He was a physician who started hearing stories from people who were clinically dead and then revived. And they'd say, hey, doc, you know, I had kind of a weird experience. And
so is this where Creedence Clearwater comes in?
Why?
It wasn't that revival. Sorry, carry on.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, now you made me lose thought. They were revived, and he started seeing threads through these things of what people were saying, and he decided to take on research, and has researched thousands, not just hundreds, not just tens, thousands of cases of near-death experiences. And one thing, well, not one thing, but nine things that he finds are common elements of near-death experience is, number one, a strange sound, a buzzing or ringing noise while having a sense of being dead. Number two, peace and painlessness. While people are dying, they may be in intense pain, but as soon as they leave their body, their pain vanishes and they experience peace. Number three, out-of-body experience. The dying often have the sensation of rising up and floating above their own body while it is being surrounded by a medical team and watching it down below while feeling comfortable. They experience the feeling of being in a spiritual body that appears to be a sort of living energy field. Number four, the tunnel experience. The next experience is that of being drawn into darkness through a tunnel at an extremely high speed until reaching a realm of radiant golden white light. Also, although they sometimes report feeling scared, they do not sense that they were on the way to hell or that they fell into it. Number five, rising rapidly into the heavens. Instead of a tunnel, some people report rising suddenly into the heavens and seeing the earth and the celestial sphere as they would be seen by astronauts in space. And Carl Jung, the psychologist Carl Jung,
mm-hmm.
had this experience.
Didn't know that.
Yep. People of light, number six. Once on the other side of the tunnel, or after they have risen into the heavens, the dying meet people who glow with an inner light. Often they find that friends and relatives who have already died there are there to greet them. Who already died are there to greet them. Number seven, the being of light. After meeting the people of light, the dying often meet a powerful spiritual being whom some have identified as God, Jesus, or some religious figure. Number eight, the life review. The being of light presents. excuse me.
That's what
the
that
dying
mute button's for.
Pardon?
That's what that mute button's for.
Yeah. The being of light presents the dying with a panoramic view of everything they have ever done. That is, they relive every act they have ever done to other people and come away feeling that love is the most important thing in life. And number nine, the reluctance to return. The being of light sometimes tells the dying that they must return to life. Other times they are given a choice of staying or returning. In either case, they are reluctant to return. The people who choose to return do so only because of loved ones they do not wish to leave behind.
Interesting thing here that when you've read that as a list is if the playback of your life, the life review, happens before the choice to come back or stay. Because wouldn't that experience of the life review maybe influence those people who do come back and all of a sudden change and, you know, fundamentally who they are and how
very
they go throughout
so.
Life afterward? So, also, sorry, go on.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and also, the other point that sort of sprung forward there was that doesn't the life review and the events of importance rather depend upon the person who's had their life and views them with importance? Because some people wouldn't think of certain things as important, and other people would. So say you swore once at your grandmother, and you always thought that that was why your grandmother went into a depression and died off, but really it was nothing to do with it. You decided it.
Right.
But that event would come back in your life review.
Right.
Whereas anybody else would say, well, no, that wasn't even
important.
Well,
one thing that Dr. Moody found out is that not only do you have a life review, very panoramic, very fast, is that it's like a ripple in a pond. You not only see how you affect the person.
Oh, and
that
all
you
the
did
interactions
again,
afterward.
It's all the interactions. So, like, you and I get in a fight, we go to Walmart or something, and I start slamming people with my cart because I'm impatient and I'm mad. They start yelling at their kids, you know. There's a ripple effect.
Yeah, butterfly effect kind of thing, with
yeah,
time travel, that kind
exactly.
of related effect.
Exactly. And
people do say that about kindness too, don't they? To balance that out.
Exactly. So if you're treating somebody with kindness, they're going to turn around and treat somebody else with kindness. They're going to be more benevolent towards their fellow man. So it is always, and that is the message that they get back from this life review, that what matters most is love. And to treat each person with love and respect, whether you know them or not. Because that has a ripple effect.
Benefit of the doubt rather than doubting the benefit.
Oh, definitely. And as far as the importance, putting the importance of, like, swearing at your grandma and then thinking she had the stroke because you did that, that comes through clearly that is not the cause of her death, that is just a feeling you manifested. You're forgiven. You have a feeling of peace that no matter how bad you've been throughout your life.
It's like a really, really sort of whacked out confession type thing for the Catholic Church,
oh,
isn't
definitely.
It? You know, instead of sitting in a booth there, I mean, how can they say, oh, it's all right, everything's fine now, if you were a serial killer or something?
Well, the thing is that there are people who have experienced hell as a near-death experience. And that changes their life as much as heaven.
I'm just, you know, on this side of things, I'm just interested as much in the shared experience elements of these as the shared after results of how people are.
Which is also interesting. You say shared experiences because some people will die in the same accident, say, and they will both die. They will both rise above their bodies. They will both rise, you know, do the whole experience, go through the ten. They will remember seeing each other.
Oh, really? In the afterlife?
When they come back.
Now, that's a twist.
Yeah. Yeah. And they will share the experience.
And are they clothed in the same clothing that they've just died in? Because you never see a naked ghost running around, do you?
No, you know, and I don't think so. I think it's they're clothed in light, if that makes any sense.
Ah, okay. All right. So they recognize
you know,
who it is, the
not,
person's got identity, but it's not.
You don't have
physical.
A body to be clothed in.
Mm-hmm.
You are a being of light. So it's like you could be a pinprick of light,
I
would imagine.
Yeah, or a skyscraper size.
Or a skyscraper
That's possibly as important as time not mattering, because you say it's a quick life review. That life review may take 1,000 years. In another time frame. But anyway.
The strange sound, a buzzing or ringing noise while having a sense of being dead. I've experienced that buzzing sound.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't have the sense of being dead, but I thought I was going to pass out and possibly.
Is it anywhere related to that high-pitched noise you get when the little hairs die off in your ears?
No.
Is it inside
not
the mind? Is it inside the ears? Is it outside?
Well, I always, whenever I get weird sensations like that. I always put my hands over my ears to tell whether it's outside my head or inside my head, and this was inside my head.
Okay.
I think it also has to relate to, if I may talk about when you were, your natural gas.
Oh, you mean the carbon monoxide experience?
The carbon monoxide experience. That may have to do with the clicking noises you were hearing.
Oh, my word, right. Well, we can get into those later or now, if you like. Apparently I've died 3 times. Well, or nearly, or whatever. Strange stuff.
Go ahead.
Well, first one I wouldn't remember is when I was born. I was a forceps delivery in 1969 at the Barony Hospital in Nantwich, which they pulled down shortly afterward. But, so I won't remember that one. The second one was shortly after divorce, and a group of friends and relatives decided I should go out to a nightclub, so I just got hammered, basically. You know, it was whiskey and vodka and all sorts. And I don't even remember getting back to the guy's place that we were all staying at, but I decided I wasn't feeling very well at all, and I went for a walk. And as I did so, it was really strange how it was nighttime, but the streetlights and everything started to dim, and things started to get more to a focal point of light. A bit of light that, as I was walking, started to get brighter and brighter and looked very warm and inviting. It was a cold night. And the feeling was I should go to this light, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, this is that video which I've always presumed the afterlife to be. And you know me, you know, it's going to take something to, you know, sway some of these views, even though I've had great experience with the EVPs and this kind of stuff,
right,
of spirit research. But anyway, I saw this little light, and it was getting a little bit brighter, brighter and brighter. And then it sort of took on a hue which was very warm and inviting, like I say, and the whole thing was, stop walking, just sit down for a minute and enjoy this experience. And I went, no. And I fought that because I realized, even though I was hammered, as it were, I think I knew what was coming up next, which was I wouldn't be getting back up again. I would at least pass out. So I carried on walking. And
Never mind, it was a Mack truck that was about ready to run you down.
Oh, that's another point.
I'm
yeah,
just kidding.
Train
coming
through the tunnel or something with his lights on, I don't know.
Shouldn't make light of it.
But shouldn't make light of it. But anyway, I carried on walking. I got through that. Ended up starting getting a headache, which I thought was fantastic, because a headache means you're coming out of whatever, you know what I mean? You're getting over something.
You're
feeling it's a hangover.
Not entirely.
So I got back to the house where a few people, you know, from the bus or whatever the heck we got back from the nightclub on, were there. And I said to a couple of them in the room, I said, I've had a really strange experience, and I recounted what happened. And a girl there said, well, yeah, we've all gone through that before now. I'm like, what the hell?
Really?
Yeah, like it was normal. Oh, right. Anyway, and the other one was a couple of years later, and I didn't know this. But there hadn't been a... In the flat that I had, there had been no inspection of the heating. And all it was a gas fire in the living room area. And I didn't realise this, but there was a carbon monoxide leak. But what happened was I felt very tired one day and thought, well, I'll have a bit of a relax here, and went to bed. And I started to close my eyes and was fighting this thing about worth, being worthy, you know, being included in the world type of thing. And, oh, my kids will be all right, you know, and, oh, money doesn't matter. And little things seemed to be closing down. A very, very strange experience of not really knowing the direction to take, except that it'll be all right if I take no direction.
So you were feeling peace.
Very much a peace and a calm, and, well, if I don't wake up from this, it doesn't matter. Everything's, you know, taken care of.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, again, I clicked and I went, oh, no, there's something not right here. This is not right. Something's odd. So I don't know, and I'm just so glad that I did it. I jumped straight out of the bed and ran outside.
I'm so glad you did.
Yeah. The hit of air that I got... when I went outside, it was so very different to inside the house that I thought, there's something odd about the house. You know, well, the flat. And I stood out there, and about, you know, half an hour later, I got a crack in the middle. It felt like a crack in the brain, which is one of the weirdest things I can imagine trying. If you just imagine an egg, when you break an egg and you get that crack type thing, but imagine that going on in your mind.
You get the snapping
and
sound.
Yeah, and it took many weeks, really, of these occasional snaps, and I started remembering more things. You know, the tiny things, like conversations and what have you with people that I just didn't even know not to remember, if you know what I mean. Say, I've been introduced to someone at a pub and I didn't remember, and then all of a sudden the crap would happen and it'd be, oh, yeah, because I'm supposed to see them on Tuesday, you know, whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
And slowly but surely, you know, I came back to realising, yeah, there's something wrong with that flat. And I posted on a message board forum and about carbon monoxide, and they very, very kindly sent me a carbon monoxide tester, which went, you know, its colour or it beeped or whatever it was at the time, I don't recall. Very strangely enough, really, was that then my brother came to stay at the flat for a short while, and we both got a place to stay at. And just before I left, the landlord of the flat put in a brand new heating system. And I thought, this is all a bit weird, because I did mention to him something about, you know, the carbon monoxide. Don't know whether he got it tested or what, but he put a brand new heating system in. So at least someone else didn't have that problem after me. But they're my experiences.
And your mum told me your auntie Wynn has had a near-death experience. She didn't elaborate on it. I would have loved to have heard her story.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's happened to more than just you and your family.
Yeah, close family, yeah, well, Auntie Wynn included. I'd like to know,
yeah.
too, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that mine are or were. But it is a little bit where, since about the age of 12, I've thought that, well, a video plays, it's still that millions of years to put something together so people don't panic about death. When they realise that one day they're not going to be here, oh, heck, then what? Did that form some religions? Did that form some viewpoints on, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, reading Life After Life, this book by Dr. Raymond Moody just put me totally at peace with death. I have no fear of death.
That's the one major thing, isn't it? There's no point walking through this with ignorance. Get all the information you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Here are some examples of stories that people have had. This first example, I heard the doctor say that I was dead, and that's when I began to feel as though I was tumbling, actually kind of floating through this blackness, which is some kind of enclosure. There are not really words to describe this. Everything was very black, except that way off from me I could see this light. It was a very brilliant light, but not too large at first. It grew larger as it came nearer and nearer to it. I was trying to get to the light at the end because I felt it was Christ, and I was trying to reach that point. It was not a frightening experience. It was more or less a pleasant thing. For immediately, being Christian, I had connected the light with Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world." I said to myself, if this is it, if I am to die, then I know who waits for me at the end, there in the light. So that's a person who found comfort in their religion.
And that to me is something I'd love to be at the position of, to have a belief and then like, oh, well, there's that dude. There's that dude that I've been visiting to say hello to every Sunday morning. You know what I mean?
There was another gentleman, and I in my list when I put it up, is a YouTube video of Dr. Raymond Moody telling stories about life after life.
Is he still around? Or is he gone?
Yes, yes.
Oh, he is.
Now he's doing experiments with the, what do you call that, mirror in a closet with the light behind.
Psychomantium,
yes. Now he's doing psychomantium experiments.
Wow.
Lives in Alabama.
Do we know what his view is, then? I mean, you know, about NDEs. Presumably he's a believer in experience.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a scientific type.
Yeah,
how
he was.
That...
At first it was like, this is kind of weird, you know, but it, just the evidence just kept building up and building up and building up.
Mm, and it swung him around.
As far as meeting, like I said, your spiritual guide, there was one guy in this video who said, "I felt I met my higher self."
Oh, that's good.
So it doesn't even have to be...
Like you are your own God kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right.
That's great for the ego, that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Another woman that he tells about was in surgery, died on the table. and she was hovering over the table, and then she took off outside of the hospital and was flying above the hospital and saw this shoe on a ledge on a floor a few floors above her. And when she came back to life, she told the doctor about it, and he went and looked, and sure enough, the shoe was there.
Now, those are the best types.
Yep.
Those are your evidence.
There are some hospitals now that will put signs up in, like I heard about one that will put one on back on the back of the television.
Okay.
Just if you can read this, then you're dead. No, not that.
Oh, awesome. No, but I'll tell you, that could be really helpful for those that are you know, wavering between life and death.
Let us know if you see this.
Yeah, but like an instruction manual thing.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, go through
the note of the
thing.
Dead.
Yeah,
the book of the dead.
Yeah, to bring them back to life.
Yeah.
And then say, also, after reading this and returning to your body, please say to your doctor about the experience you've just had.
Yeah.
That would be fascinating. A how-to kind of thing.
If you can read this, you're dead.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, let's see. Okay, here's another example of a story. I got up and walked into the hall to get a drink, and it was at that point, as they found later, that my appendix ruptured. I became very weak, and I fell down. I began to feel sort of drifting, a movement of my being in and out of my body, and to hear beautiful music. I floated on down the hall and out the door onto the screened-in porch. There, it almost seemed that clouds, a pink mist, really began to gather around me, and then I floated right straight on through the screen, just as though it weren't there, and up into this pure crystal light, an illuminating white light.
That's where I would panic.
It was beautiful and so bright, so radiant, but it didn't hurt my eyes. It's not any kind of light you can describe on Earth. I didn't actually see a person in this light, and yet it has a special identity. It definitely does. It is a light of perfect understanding. It is a light of perfect understanding and perfect love. And a thought came to my mind. Lovest thou me? This was not exactly a form of a question, but I guess the connotation of what the light said was, if you love me, go back and complete what you began in your life. And all during this time...
Hey, your name's not down, you're not coming in.
Yeah, and all during this time, I felt as though I were surrounded by an overwhelming love and compassion. See, now, if you were filled with overwhelming love and compassion, would you really feel fear at that point?
Personally, yeah. But I'm weird like this.
Huh.
My ego probably says I need to have 100% factual proof of life after death, otherwise I'm not going there.
You're going to life after death, and, you know, what more proof would you need?
Well, like I say, it's all wonderful to get EVPs and what have you, and residual energies and all this kind of thing, but there are so many mechanisms which I'm ignorant to, basically, and I've decided don't exist. So I understand that side, and there's a lot of learning to do. I guess the point is, you know, we can all learn by these kind of shows even, and similar ones, and good reading and what have you, of what those experiences actually do amount to. Because what we're trying to say is proof of life after death. Now, do we also have proof that there isn't? You know, because the only people that are coming back are those that have had these experiences. Those that don't have the experiences ain't coming back.
Right, exactly.
Or may not come back.
Exactly. And like I say, I've heard stories from both sides, both heaven and hell. The people who have been to hell or...
Yeah, at the end of the day, they came back.
Right. Suicides will go through hell.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they are absolutely mentally ill. And don't know what they're doing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of suicides said that when they went through the death experience, that they were being pulled down and being bitten on and clawed at and all this kind of stuff.
I see that as psychology, though, because that's what they intend to have happen to them in a way, because of the act that they've just...
It could very well be.
Done.
But then they also see, a little bit of light.
Uh-huh.
And all they said they had to do was say, you know, God help me, or Jesus help me, or something
uh-huh.
like that.
Yeah.
And it brought them back to life.
Should we take a break at this moment? What's after the break?
Sure. After the break, we've got some more stories. We've got some more examples. And we've just got some more.
We've got some more. All right.
Alrighty. Let me get a song up here on here. I already played Bon Jovi. I love Bon Jovi.
Oh, you never get bored of Bon Jovi, though, do you?
No,
it's like John
I
Mellencamp. Did John Mellencamp ever do a tune with Bon Jovi?
You know... yeah, I've seen
the two Johns,
the two kind
Johns of thing.
Together.
Uh-huh.
He's getting married to Melanie Griffith now.
John Mellencamp.
Yeah. Let's see. Have we done Boston before?
I don't know.
Let's try Boston.
Let's find out.
All right, we got 4 minutes 45 seconds. We'll be back.
Oh,
Elvis voice too. I got to see him in concert in Fargo, North Dakota. Best part of the show, I think, was Foreplay when that guy's playing the.
Was what? Sorry. Again.
Huh?
Was what?
It's called Foreplay.
Is it really?
It's before. What song? I can't remember. But it leads into another song, and it's all played on a huge organ.
Yeah, so I thought it might be. Are we still talking about rock concerts? The heck, Julie? Hey, I like that tune myself, and I'm not a rock and roll-y type, but, yeah.
Did you like More Than a Feeling?
With Foreplay.
No, that's...
Steady on.
Oh, just...
Back to the show. Or is that other station we quite enjoy says, back to the show.
As we were saying, that cracking you felt.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In your head.
Yeah.
Now, you had a theory about that.
Only that because there was more memories, more coherence, as it were, more getting back to, you know, reality in life, that it was neural connections being remade again in the mind. And I'd always thought, really, that, you know, when you're born, and, you know, as a baby, parts of your skull all connect and this kind of thing, and I figured neural connections are made in your childhood years and whatnot, and then you're basically the same person for then afterward. But I don't think so. I think it's new experiences, emotions, etc., learning, form new connections in the mind.
Oh, definitely.
And I think that if with something like carbon monoxide poisoning, if anybody else has had it, and if they've had those cracks in the mind I was talking about, that kind of clicking sound, is that those pathways being re-enabled, jumping across the synapses, the, you know, the firings between the different parts of the mind? So that was my theory, really, in what was going on with that experience.
It was almost a physical feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, like I say, like an egg cracking. Imagine the shell of an egg is, you know, very thin, and you get that certain crack that it'll make.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like that in different areas of the mind.
That would freak me out.
Well, it did. I thought, what's going
on? Holy cow.
But it was getting better, so there's the bit. If I was getting worse with that, I think I'd have had a real issue and gone to the doctors.
Yeah.
But the fact that things were getting better afterward and clearer, almost like, you know, fuzziness in a camera and the autofocus you'll get on a camera. It's like that. It's like the autofocus coming into clarity. Slowly, in small jumps. So,
okay.
Should we do a shout out?
Yes, we should do a shout out. Would you like to do the shout out?
Alrighty. First of all, we've got Cathy's Distant Echoes, which is Julie. We've got Brenda, Tim's mom, Guest 1658, Linz, Rihanna, Simon Swain, Slider 2732, which is me, Supernatural Radio, and the Food Alchemist.
Food Alchemist, I know who you are. I've seen you on. I've seen your ads for your show.
Oh, very good.
And I'd love to catch it sometime.
Excellent.
So thank you for joining us.
Yes, and thanks all for joining us today.
Yes. I've got another story here.
Yeah, cool.
All right. This is a story about another near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was dying and that there was nothing I could do about it because no one could hear me. I was out of my body, there was no doubt about it, because I could see my own body there on the operation room table. My soul was out. All this made me feel very bad at first, but then this really bright light came. It did seem that it was a little dim at first, but then it was this huge beam. It was just a tremendous amount of light, nothing like being like a big flashlight. It was just much too light. It gave off heat to me. It felt a warm sensation. It was a bright yellowish light, more white. It was tremendously bright. I just can't describe it. It seemed to me that it covered everything, yet it didn't prevent me from seeing everything around me, the operating room, the doctors and the nurses, everything. I could see clearly. It wasn't blinding. At first, when light came, I wasn't sure what was happening, but then it kind of asked me if I was ready to die. It was like talking to a person, but a person wasn't there. That's what was talking to me, but in a voice. The light was what was talking to me. Now I think that the voice was talking to me actually realized that I wasn't ready to die. You know, I was just kind of testing me more than anything else. Well, that's one heck of a test.
Yeah, it is.
Yet, from the moment the night spoke to me, I felt really good, secure, and loved. The love which came from it was just unimaginable, indescribable. It was a fun person to be with. It had a sense of humor, too, definitely.
There's an interesting side, maybe. That experience of mine when I was walking, if I may describe the light in a similar way, it's almost like, yes, the light wants to wrap around you. That's that wish to go nearer to it kind of thing. But here's the sort of way I would say. Say you've got a really bright flashlight, and another person about 3 feet away from you turns on the flashlight, and you're going to get blinded by that light. It's too bright and everything, and all you can see is that light. Oh, my word. No, this light's different. It's that bright, but you can still see the flashlight in the person's hand and
That's
see
what
the
I've
person
heard.
As well. That's
yeah.
what that light was to me.
Yeah.
So it isn't really like light. It's odd. It's different.
It's like all-encompassing where you don't get shadows.
That too. That too, there would be no shadow. Well, in fact, if you saw shadows, wouldn't that be like the
no,
hell
I don't
side?
Know.
You know what I'm saying?
Better, yeah.
Oh, also, yeah, the warmth side of it was, well, imagine if you're freezing, and the reason why you're going to die off is because, you know, you've got frostbite and all the rest. You say you're in the middle of, I don't know, the Antarctic or something. The warmth bit is not warm. It's that sort of 75 degrees stuff.
Yeah.
That nice breeze of warm
right.
that you get. You know, like when the wind might change in
the comfortable,
spring,
loving,
and it,
warm,
oh,
hug
nice.
Warm kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, like I said, the whole
yeah.
thing wraps and wants to wrap. And that was the bit I saw, more like tentacles and claws trying to get in at me, which perhaps I was lucky it did seem that way, because it was not a natural experience. I think that was a forced experience. And that's why I got the video playing kind of thoughts, really.
Oh.
But I've had those since about the age of 12, so maybe that was just an affirmation of my own, which wasn't there. And but anyway, that's my experience of that light. So it's not really light. It's just that light is what it's closest to.
Is the closest you can describe
yeah.
Well, listen, Robert just hopped into the room here.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'd like to encourage people still to order calendars from Robert.
Yeah, we're only in January.
You know, yeah, we're only in January. They're beautiful. They are absolutely gorgeous. And
the
Robert,
images are something you can look at for a month, we'll put it that way, without issue.
He did stunning photography on this. So please take a look at his Facebook page, Robert Sharp. That's Sharp with an E on the end of it. And take a look at the calendars. He also has a couple books for sale. And I highly recommend both of those. So there, I've done my little bit of
advertising.
Okay. Got some stories with some names, some actual people who have told stories here.
I was going to say, actually, is there any famous people, you know, that have got...
Any famous people,
yeah.
NDEs. You know, I don't know.
But I know certainly that there are stories from people all around the planet that are the same thing. And that's always highly interesting, because you'd think that, you know, maybe cultural influences would say who you're going to see and what's going to happen, but it's not like that. People all around the world have the same thing, apparently.
You know who I wish would have had an NDE, just because I wish he would still be with us? Steve Irwin.
Oh, right, yeah. The Crocodile Hunter.
Yeah. He's so cool. I was watching an old episode the other day, and it's just...
A lot of energy, that guy. He was a bouncing guy, wasn't he? Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't watch a show he was
special.
On without thinking, hey, you know, and thumbs
yeah.
up kind of thing. There's
so
much energy.
Special.
Yeah.
I feel so badly for Terry, and I forget the daughter's name, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this woman's name is Veronica Ulrich Barthel. And she says that after being struck by lightning while driving her car one day in 1981, she was instantly transported into hell.
Oh,
where
okay.
Where she found demons escorting her into a big waiting room. The creatures that I saw there were more terrifying than anything I even saw in a horror movie.
Just wait a second, into a waiting room. Isn't that great? Because in the heaven-type experience, everybody is at the top of the line. Everybody gets to experience things then and now.
Right.
But you've just said a waiting room. That in itself, right there, is different.
You know what that reminds me of? Do you ever see the movie Beetlejuice?
Oh, I have, well, a long, long time ago.
Remember when they have to go through the bureaucracy with the woman who smokes and has a trach and the smoke comes out the trach?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, today I know they were demons. As soldiers, they were marching past me, and in the middle of them were people that were screaming in, with pain. It was very difficult to breathe down there because of the terrible smell of this place. I saw a lake which looked like the inner part of a volcano where people were cursing because of great pain. She says that she saw people being thrown into caves which were guarded by demons who threw spears at them as they screamed.
Wow.
She also recalled snakes being present all over the ground which were there to frighten and to intimidate the people in hell. After her experience, Veronica found herself transported back into her car, where for a moment she saw her own burning hands gripping the steering wheel.
Oh, really? Ooh.
That's a bummer.
Oh, yeah. Hey, can I just say that Simon's posted a link in the chat room to Elizabeth Taylor's NDA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank
so
you, Simon.
Yeah, there's one famous person.
Thank you. Howard Storm is the name of the next gentleman. Once a self-described double atheist and a know-it-all.
That's a double atheist.
Oh, yeah. And a know-it-all college professor, Howard Storm was leading for a three-week European art tour with his students when he retired to his hotel room in France on the last day of his trip. I think I heard about this one.
Uh-huh.
Without warning, he suddenly screamed and dropped to the floor, prompting his wife to call for help. At the hospital, the news was grim. Howard had a perforated stomach that required surgery, and if he didn't get it soon, he would die. The wait for the doctor to arrive was lengthy, so much so that Howard turned to his wife at one point and said his final farewell to her, insisting that he was moments from death. That's when he recalled finding himself standing next to his own body, which was still on the hospital bed, and feeling more alive than ever with no more stomach pain. Soon after, he heard unfamiliar voices calling to him. "Come with us," they said. "Hurry up, let's go. We've been waiting for you." After calling out to his wife and getting no response, he began to follow the voices, which led him out of the room and down a long dark hallway. He followed them for so long and became so increasingly terrified that he told the voices he wasn't going any further. Then they attacked him.
Oh, no.
We had a big fight, and the fight turned into them annihilating me, which they did slowly and with much relish, he said. Mostly they were biting and tearing me. This went on for a long time. They did other things to humiliate and violate me, which I won't talk about. Collapsed on the ground, Howard began reciting the Lord's Prayer after hearing a soft voice telling him to pray to God. After saying a few other prayers, he said Jesus personally saved him from the demons and sent him back to earth, telling him to live his life differently. Storm's book, My Descent into Death, was published in 2000.
That's pretty fascinating. I've had another thought here. What happens if you go down to hell, right?
You know what?
What?
I've had the phone held upside down this whole time.
Oh, no. I could hear you, but...
I hope so.
Oh, dear. Hopefully other people could hear you as well. That's a bit of a silly one. Well, mind you, that person in the story just there had got their life upside down. We've got a link there.
Oh, my gosh. You could hear this clicking noise and clicking that. I looked at the phone and it was upside down.
Oh, well, hopefully people could hear you.
Oh, I'm such a dingbat. Ding!
What I was thinking was, then I forgot my point. Carry on. I can't believe what you did either, holding upside down. He's a candy bar type, isn't he? He's just the same dimensions all the way. I understand what you've done.
Oh, my word. Dr. Mary Neal. During a kayaking trip in 1999, Dr. Mary Neal became pinned under the water when her kayak capsized, making it impossible for her to breathe for anywhere between 15 to 25 minutes. That's when she says she experienced a near-death experience that brought her into the presence of God, Jesus, and angels. During the experience, God told her that her family would be facing an upcoming tragedy that would need her to help them through. Specifically, her 9-year-old son Willie was going to die, but she wasn't told when, where, or how. 10 years later, at age 19, Willie was killed in a car accident in Maine by a driver who was on his cell phone.
That was the right way around, I guess.
Mary was convinced Jesus helped her under the water, making it possible for rescue workers to revive her following the kayaking accident. She awoke with two broken legs and lung complications and spent a month in hospital, followed by 6 weeks in a wheelchair. She wrote a book, To Heaven and Back, which was published in May 2012.
Wow. Hey, I've got a point here for you.
This is
something for people who think they're going through the hell experience, right? You know, sometimes you can influence your dreams. If you keep thinking something as you go to sleep, you may have a dream about that thing. So people could decide here, if they end up going to hell, now think about this one. And somebody's going to shoot you, perhaps, and you're going, oh, no, they're going to shoot me. Well, what's going to happen? You get shot. You die again. You go off up to heaven. Ding-ding. As you get out of jail card, isn't it?
You know what? That's so funny you mention that, because these, you know, I listen to audio books, and Dean Koontz has a series of books about a guy named Odd Thomas.
Oh.
His parents were going to name him Todd, and the T got left off the birth certificate.
Oh, wow.
So they just
for a bloke.
Call him Odd Thomas the rest of his life. But he...
That's cool.
He had a girlfriend who died 4 years. They met when they were 16, and she was killed by gunmen when she was 20. And before that she was killed, they had gone to one of those Zorro machines.
Oh, fortune telling things.
Fortune machines, like in the movie Big.
Yeah.
And they got a card that said, "You are destined to be together forever." So when she died, he's kept that in his
Zoltan,
wallet.
Zoltan, was it?
Zoltan, yeah. He kept that in his wallet the whole time. And throughout the whole series, you know, he's saying, I really want to be back with you and all this kind of stuff. And the one I listened to last night, he finally got killed and got to go back to his girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
And everybody that he loved that died before him.
Wow. No, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Odd Thomas.
I would recommend them because they're funny. They've got, they've got suspense and stuff, but it's good sense of humor. I don't really care for Dean Koontz's books very much, but I really like his Odd Thomas.
I can see Dean Koontz right from here now on your...
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole line of them there. All right.
That's probably why I could see it.
Ben Breedlove is the next story.
He's not a gigolo, was he?
I hope not. He was 18 years old. When 18-year-old Ben Breedlove of Austin, Texas, began posting a series of videos on YouTube telling the world about his rare heart condition, they instantly went viral, attracting millions of viewers. In one of them, he tells a story being wheeled down a dark hall by nurses to a surgery room and seeing a bright, peaceful light near the ceiling. He was 4 at the time it happened. Through a series of index cards in the video, he wrote, There were no lights in this on in this hall. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I couldn't help but smile. I had no worries at all, like nothing else in the world mattered. He talks of different times when he cheated death, including an incident where he fainted in the hallway at school. While I was still unconscious, I was in this white room, no walls. It just went on and on. There was no sound, but at the same peaceful feeling I had when I was 4. I was wearing a really nice suit. So there's your question.
Oh, okay.
And so was my favorite rapper, Kid Cudi. Then I was looking at myself in the mirror. I was proud of myself, of my entire life, everything I had done.
Looking in the mirror in the near-death experience?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, psychomantium thing,
yeah.
Link.
Is that I was proud of myself and my entire life, everything I have done. It was the best feeling. I didn't want to leave that place. I wish I never woke up. Ben's video attracted the attention of rapper Kid Cudi, who apparently broke down after viewing him. He responded, "I broke down. I am to tears because I hate how life is so unfair. This has really touched my heart in a way I can't describe. This is why I do what I do, why I write what I write, why I write in my life, and why I love you all so much." On Christmas Day in 2011, 1 week after posting the videos, Ben Breedlove suffered a heart attack and died.
Oh.
A family friend stated, "There are times that the family is overwhelmed by the pain and the loss of Ben, but then it's replaced with knowing that he was at peace and that with what was going to happen." The final index card in Ben's last video stated, "Do you believe in angels or God? I do." Next one is Colton Burpee.
Who do what now?
Colton Burp. Oh, I'm sorry, Burpo. Not Burpee, Burpo.
Is this the person's name?
Yes.
Stage name?
Colton. Colton Burpo wasn't quite 4 years old when his appendix burst, landing him in the hospital for an emergency surgery. And he woke 2 hours later. He had an amazing story to tell. He said he'd been to heaven where he met Jesus, John the Baptist, God, and even family members who had passed away previously, including a baby sister that his mother had lost due to a miscarriage.
Oh, and hadn't told him about that.
Yeah. Neither of his parents... neither of his parents had ever mentioned the miscarriage to him.
Oh, that's cool. Well, not cool for the kid, but cool for the experience.
He also met an old man he called Pop, whom he had seen as a young man. Later, he was able to identify Pop in a family photograph as the man he had seen in heaven. It was his paternal grandfather. And while the surgery was taking place, Colton told his father had seen him in another room where he had gone to pray. His father told his father, Todd Burpo, said...
Not Hard Burpo.
No. We knew he wasn't making it up because he was able to tell us just what we were doing in another part of the hospital. Not even Sonia had seen me in that little room having my meltdown with God. Todd wrote a book called Heaven is for Real. You know what? I wonder... No, this isn't the one I was going to mention. Heaven is for Real, that recounts the entire story of his son's incredible experience in detail. Colton Burpo now travels the country with his parents, sharing his story with others. Recently come to news, story about a father and son who got in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you remember about this being on... Coast to Coast, where the kid was apparently dead, but he is now paralyzed for life.
It's not the one that was recently came out as being fake.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's sad.
Mm.
That
Didn't they write a book as well? Isn't it the case
they
that
wrote a book.
To write a book?
They wrote a book about it and toured around doing all these talk shows. The dad apparently still does lectures.
But I'll bet you something. It's a bit like if you can actually see auras. I'll bet you some people who've had near-death experiences have read that book and went, "Nah, I'm sorry, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That is not how it goes."
Yeah.
Because only, you know, only if you've actually experienced something should you actually write something like that.
Yeah. So it's sad that while this is such a contentious idea, you know, with doctors still saying this is just chemicals in your brain creating a hallucination while your body breaks down and loss of oxygen to the brain and all
yeah.
this kind of stuff.
Partially, it will be. It was to say that some of this doesn't happen. You know, you get all these endorphins and the rest, they're all rushing, enabling the experience.
Exactly.
Not causing it, enabling it to happen.
Right.
To put you in the right frequencies, to put you in the right place to go forward.
I can't believe I was holding the phone upside down.
I can.
What a dingbat.
You know why that happens?
Why?
Because you eat pizza just before the show.
Yes. Betty J. Eady. In November 1973, Betty Eady underwent a partial hysterectomy, after which she says she floated out of her body and passed through a tunnel to heaven.
How'd you get a partial hysterectomy?
They only take the fallopian tubes and the ovaries.
Oh, right. A full one is the whole womb, is it?
Right.
Got you.
Right.
Sorry for my ignorance, but I'm a guy, so
oh,
I don't
okay.
know these things.
She said she was guided by three hooded monk-like figures who claimed to have always been their guardian angels and informed her that she had died prematurely. An excerpt from her book, Embraced by the Light.
Another one with a book.
Another one. She recalls, I saw a pinpoint of light in the distance. A black mass around me began to take on more the shape of a tunnel, and I felt myself traveling through it at even greater speed, rushing toward the light. I was instinctively attracted to it, although, again, I felt others might not be. As I approached it, I noticed a figure of a man standing in it with the light radiating all around him. There was no questioning who he was, and I knew that he was my savior and friend and God. He was Jesus Christ, who had always loved me, even though I thought he hated me.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't
yeah.
it? Spin it around.
Following its publication in September 1994, her book became a number one bestseller and remains in print today.
Oh, that's a good reason for staying alive.
what's interesting, too, in this video by Dr. Moody, he talks about the history of people seeing the bright light. And you know who Hieronymus Bosch is?
Hieronymus Bosch?
The painter. He does Heaven, Hell, and the Garden of Eden, and he's got really monstrosity things. And
Yeah. Like a big tapestry thing, isn't
yes,
it? Very
yes,
famous.
Yes,
I know.
He's also done one of figures kneeling before this tunnel of light,
mm-hmm.
and some going up farther up into this tunnel of light.
Yeah.
So apparently that was an experience back in his day, and he's from the 1500s, 1400s.
Yeah, a long time back anyway.
And then there was a woodcut from...
Hey, what happens in a few hundred years' time? You can't call the Middle Ages the Middle Ages, can you? They're going to be like the sort of third of the way ages. You know what I mean?
They'll always be the Middle Ages.
What is with all that Middle Ages? The more recent ages, or what?
But I always thought that was interesting that, you know, you think, oh, this is just a new sensation.
You can imagine it tweaked into modern times, yeah.
Yuppie kind of thing, a new age kind of thing. But apparently they were experiencing it many hundreds of years ago.
That's another one, isn't it? I mean, the 1960s with LSD and other experimentation about whether, you know, the people with the NDEs were the ones that went for the drugs.
Well, no.
But obviously not.
Think of the cave drawings, too, especially in Ireland.
Spirals.
All the spirals.
Oh, yes.
Could that be something to do with that?
That's an interesting thought. I've never thought of that one.
Because those spirals are on the Longboroughs.
They're all over the place, those spirals, if you look.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
In Ireland.
I always thought it was something to do with sacred geometry and that kind of a thing. But and also, as might rightly be said, if you've got a finger with paint on it,
right.
The spiral makes an easy thing to draw.
Yeah.
To say, I was here. But, yeah, you know, that aside, I think that, maybe. It could relate to it.
Some archaeologists or paleontologists say that these represent stars. But what if they do represent a near-death experience?
Yeah. What if it was a star? Wouldn't you expect it to just be a point of light?
I just had that idea. Wow. Cool.
Mm. Go you.
Aren't I cool?
All 10 right. minutes left, shouts
yep.
Simon.
Yep.
I was going to say says, but it's all the way across my screen.
I'll just do a couple more quickies.
Yeah, no, they're very interesting because they're very diverse, especially like the hell ones. I haven't heard any of those before.
Yeah. Don Piper. Following a pastor's conference in 1989, Don Piper was driving over a bridge when a Texas Department of Corrections tractor trailer crossed the center line and ran into him head on.
Doesn't sound like a light vehicle, though.
No, that would be, yeah.
Like a bus.
That'd be like
bus.
A bus, yeah. He said he was instantly transported to heaven, where he found himself surrounded by dead relatives and friends. And a large pearl gate.
Oh, no.
See, this is, again, where what you're told to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I think you
pearly
you
gates,
make,
St. Peter, how's your life been? Oh, it's all right, you're allowed in.
Yeah, you make of it what you will. The gate of heaven was a magnificent edifice.
Was it electric?
I don't know.
Because you can imagine a remote control for it, can't you? Oh, don't bother with the St. Peter bit. Just press
well,
the button,
made of mother,
drive in.
A mother of pearls, so let's see.
A garage door.
The one that I saw. Let's see, it was, the gate of heaven was a magnificent edifice, the one that I saw. It looked no less than it, like a giant gate that had been sculpted from mother of pearl, he said. Behind the portal was such light that I couldn't conceive of how you could see it in an earthly body. But I could only be envisaged in a heavenly body because it was too bright. As he lay there, crushed in his vehicle on the bridge, a pastor came by who prayed over him. The EMS staff had told him that Don was deceased. After the pastor prayed, he was instantly found himself back in his vehicle, staring up at this tarp that he had been trapped out over him. At the hospital, it was revealed that although he suffered no major head trauma, nearly every bone in his body had been broken or shattered.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Don wrote a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven.
He wrote another book.
After his recovery.
It's a ubiquitous
yeah.
or ubiquitous thing to do, isn't it? Have a near-death experience and write a best-selling book.
Yeah. No, you just... That kind of points out the pearly gate kind of thing. I think you make of it what you will. Him being a pastor, he's probably told his flock, you know, St. Peter's going to meet you at the pearly gates. You're going to get judged. And
well, there's the other point, isn't it? It's about making you feel safe and comfortable, and the gate won't even have been there, but it's impressed upon you that it is there so that you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Right.
If that's been your belief all the time, you're going to see a pearly gate.
Right.
Which I guess is where the whole 72 virgins bit comes from in some, you know, religions. I don't know. Anyway,
well, I'm looking for a song to end up the show here so Simon won't go ballistic on us here. I'll do an old and moldy. Okay, now I got one set up. So.
Oh, very good.
Cal Living is here with us.
Yes, and Mary, 13531.
Thank you for joining us. I think, did we catch Supernatural Radio? We didn't catch her when she came in, did we?
I think so, yes. I've done it in the shout-out earlier.
All right, I'll do one more quick story here.
Sure.
All right. Bill Wise, in his book...
Oh, no, not again.
23 Minutes in Hell, author Bob...
What happens if you write the book before you have the experience? Now, that would be a classic.
Well, that would be what that boy did.
yeah, isn't it just a fake
right.
one?
Yeah.
Isn't it just...
Author Bill Wise tells the story of laying in bed at 3 a.m. and being suddenly thrown into the depths of hell, where he was tormented by demons. It sounds like a bad dream to me. He said he was placed in a small cell with vicious beasts who looked like reptiles. He recalls understanding that they had been assigned to torment him, which they did, throwing him against walls and piercing his flesh with their claws. The pain became so bad that he wished for death but was not obliged.
That's the point, isn't it?
He said he heard the cries of millions who were either burning in hell or being tortured like he was. When he awoke, his wife noted that the clock read 3:23, so his book is titled 23 Minutes in Hell. I don't think that's a real experience view.
No. Not on first impression, no. Not if you just went to sleep. Although carbon monoxide may be a point, or an aneurysm thing, or heart attack, or whichever.
Or body cramps. You know, just think if you go to sleep and you have dehydration cramps or some kind of thing like that, that in your sleep you don't realize, and you feel like you're getting all these torturous demons attacking you.
Well, I think the upshot of the whole thing and this show today is that some very, very positive experiences indeed that seem to be shared by many, many people. And like you said, Raymond Moody's top nine things that are shared between are from multicultural backgrounds all around the world, the same experiences, which seems to say something's happening. It's well worth researching more of.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I just, like I say, I found so much comfort just reading his book, and it's from 1975, I believe, A Life After Life, and I will have, when I put the links up, you can, an Amazon link to where you can buy the book if you like to. It was cheap when I got it, but that was a heck of a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what it is anymore?
Well, certainly available secondhand then, because that might
definitely.
Or even, I mean, you know, bookshops, local bookshops and that, second yard sales sometimes, these kind of people have, you know, book collections, and it might well be in there, because it's a very, very popular book.
I can't find mine.
Well, we'll do that ourselves then. We'll find out. What can you get
somewhere,
it for?
It's somewhere in that office of mine. But... Uh-huh. Okay, Simon, 3 minutes.
Yes, thanks again, Simon, for your help this week.
We'll lay a song on you here.
What have you got lined up?
Let's do just Cathedral. I think that's a minute 21. Now.
Oh, the guitar solo from your hero guitarist, your Guida player.
This is a phenomenal
I like it.
Guitar solo. If you know anything about playing guitar, he hammers with his left hand.
This is Mr. Van Halen.
And the right hand is all volume control, and it's just phenomenal. And I've seen him in concert twice doing this, and you just go, oh, my word. So please appreciate this little Eddie Van Halen. And that would be goodbye from him.
And goodbye from her.
I'm going to go to the next one.